An Osho Talk. When the Shoe Fits. Talks on the Stories of Chontuzu, Number 2.
The spirit has an impregnable tower, which no danger can disturb as long as the tower is guarded by an invisible protector who acts unconsciously and whose actions go astray when they become deliberate, reflexive, and intentional. The unconscious and entire sincerity of Tao are disturbed by any effort at self-conscious demonstration. All such demonstrations are lies. When one displays himself in this ambiguous way, the world storms in and imprisons him. He is no longer protected by the sincerity of Tao. Each new act is a new failure. If his acts are done in public, in broad daylight, he will be punished by men. If they are done in private and in secret, they will be punished by spirits. Let each one understand the meaning of sincerity and guard against display. He will be at peace with men and spirits, and he will act rightly, unseen, in his own solitude, in the tower of his spirit.
Only man is in suffering. Suffering exists nowhere else than the heart of man. The whole nature is joyous. The whole nature is always celebrating without any fear, without any anxiety. Existence goes on existing. But man is a problem. Why this is so? And every man is a problem. If few were problems, we can call them ill, abnormal. But just contrary is the case. Only few are not problems. Rarely there is a man like Buddha, Jesus or Chontuzu who is at home, whose life is an ecstasy, and who is not in suffering and anxiety. Otherwise, everybody lives in suffering in hell. Somewhere man has gone wrong. Not any particular man, but a human society as such has gone wrong. And now it has gone to the roots. Whenever a child is born, the society immediately starts changing the child into the abnormal pattern, unnatural pattern, through which everybody else is suffering. Psychologists have been deeply trying to probe the mystery where a child goes wrong, and they have stumbled upon the age 4. Somewhere near there, the child becomes part of society. Somewhere there, he is no more natural. Before the age 4, he is still part of the great world of trees, flowers, birds and animals. Before the age 4, he is still wild. Then he is domesticated. Then the society takes over. Then he lives according to rules, morality, right and wrong. Then he is not total. Then everything is divided. Before he moves, he has to decide deliberately how to move, what to do, what not to do. The art has entered, and that art is the disease. The discrimination has come in. Now the child is no more part of the divine. He has fallen from that grace. If you try to understand, this is the meaning of the biblical story of Adam's fall. Before he ate from the tree of knowledge, he was natural. He lived in the Garden of Eden, and that Garden of Eden is here. These trees are still living in it. Animals are still part of it. Sun and moon and stars are still moving in it. Here and now is the Garden of Eden, but you are out of it. Why Adam was turned out? He ate the fruit of knowledge. At the age of 4, every Adam and Eve is turned out again and again. It is not something that happened in the past. It happens every time a child is born. Again, the Adam comes into being. The Eve again comes into being. Up to the age of 4, there is no knowledge. By the age of 4, the child starts understanding what is what. Then he misses the path. Then he is no more natural. Then the spontaneity is lost. Now he will live according to the rules. Once you start living according to the rules, you will suffer. Because you cannot love spontaneously. You cannot enjoy. You cannot dance. You cannot sing. You have to move in the fixed pattern. And life is never a fixed pattern. Life is a fluidity. It is a liquid, flexible flow. Nobody knows where it is moving. Once you start living through the room, then you know where you are moving. But deep down the movement has stopped. Now you are simply vegetating. Now you are simply dying. Because you are imprisoned. And the imprisonment is very subtle. Unless you become absolutely alert, you will not be able to see it. It is like an unseen armor around you. One of the greatest revolutionary thinkers of this age, Wilhelm Reich, stumbled upon this armor. But he was proved by the society that he is mad. He was thrown into jail. He died in jail. In deep anguish. The anguish was this, that whatsoever he was saying was true, but nobody was ready even to listen to him. And he has come upon to the same thing about which Chantazu will talk in this sutra, the imprisonment. Wilhelm Reich found that with every mental disease, there is a bodily part to it a parallel part in the body. And in the body, something has gone dead, has become solid. And unless that body part is relaxed, that block disperses. And again your body energy becomes a flow. It is impossible to make your spirit free. The imprisonment must be broken. The armor must be thrown. Look, for example, near about at the age of 2, the child is prohibited. He is not allowed to play with his genital organs. Don't touch the penis, don't touch the vagina. There seems to be a natural enjoyment of playing with one's own body. There seems to be ecstasy, natural ecstasy. Look at a small child, boy or girl, enjoying his own body, sucking his own thumb, playing with his own body. You will see what ecstasy is. Tremors of ecstasy move all over the body. Waves. You can even see those waves passing all over the body. The child is madly ecstatic. But this looks like wild, animalistic to us, because we have forgotten how to be wild, how to be natural. We will stop. And this stopping is for two reasons. One, we feel jealous deep down. The parents have missed. And secondly, they have been also stopped in their own childhood. And man's mind is a repetitive mechanism. Whatsoever has been done to them by their parents, they will do to their children. They feel guilt. Something is wrong. The child is happy and something is wrong. Remember, whenever a child is happy, don't make the association of his mind with anything wrong. Otherwise, happiness will become deep down something wrong. That has become. Whenever you feel happy, you will feel guilty. And whenever you feel sad, you will feel happy. What nonsense. Whenever you feel happy, you feel something is wrong. Somewhere, I am doing something wrong. Whenever you are sad, everything is okay. It is as it should be. Because whenever a child is happy, immediately, from somewhere, the society enters and says no. And the child has no conception of what is wrong and what is right. He has no morality. A child is immoral. He knows only happiness, unhappiness. He is wild. And when you say stop, what the child will do? The waves of happiness were moving all over the body, from the head to the toe, from the first center of sex to the seventh center of sastrar. The waves were moving. The kundalini was awake. Every child comes into this world with kundalini functioning. You say stop. What the child will do? He will not breathe. Because whenever something has to be stopped, breathing has to be stopped first. He will not breathe. He will pull his stomach inwards. Because that is the only way how to stop those waves. His diaphragm will become rock-like. Again and again, he will pull his stomach, will not allow deep breathing. His diaphragm will become a armor. Now, beyond that, breathing will never pass. Because if breathing is deep, it hits the sex center. And if it hits the sex center, naturally you feel happy. And when it hits the sex center, all over the body waves start moving. Energy flows. That's why nobody breathes deeply. And when I say to people, breathe chaotically, they come to me and they say, it is very dangerous. We feel afraid. What is the fear? The fear is there. If you breathe chaotically, again you will become wild. Again, the armor will be broken and the breath will be hitting the sex center. This is how society suppresses you. It creates a gap between the sex center and the breathing. And if breathing is not reaching to the sex center, then all sources of happiness are blocked. Your stomach is rock-like. It does not allow anything to move down. And your body is divided into two. You never identify yourself with the lower body. Lower is really something lower. Evaluation has entered. Upper means higher. Something good. Lower means something bad. You never feel identified with your lower body. It is something bad. The devil. The evil is there. Adam was turned out, and every Adam and every Eve is turned out of the garden. Why? Because they have eaten the fruit of knowledge. And the fruit of knowledge is the most poisonous. If you want to throw discrimination, deliberate, intentional division, you will have to throw knowledge. You will have to become children again. Only then the armor can be broken. But there is going to be anguish if you want to try to break this armor. Because this armor is your whole ego. You feel good because of it, because you are moral. You feel something superior than others, because you are moral. If you break this armor, a chaos will follow. First, you will have to go mad. And then fear comes. And if you are afraid, you will again suppress, you will again put the armor, you will even make it stronger. Your imprisonment is very subtle. And you have become now afraid to come out of it. It protects you, it seems. I have heard, in one small school, a primary school, the teacher was lecturing to her pupils about the law of gravitation. She said in conclusion that because of the law of gravitation, we are on this earth. A small child was very much puzzled. His student said, I cannot understand it. Then how we managed to stick to earth before the lavas passed? You think you are here because of the society? You think you are here because of morality? And all nonsense that goes with it. You think you are here because of your Bible, Quran and Gita? No. Because nature exists without any laws. It has its own intrinsic laws, but they are not laws passed by men. They don't need your sanction. They are there. And life goes on following them. If you don't interfere, you will reach the goal immediately. If you interfere, then you will be in trouble. And if you are in trouble, anguish and suffering, that know well you have been interfering with nature. And nothing is possible unless you stop interfering. This is the whole message of Chuang Tzu, that don't interfere with nature. Allow it. Move with it. Trust it. You come out of it. It is your mother. It is the source. And one day you will go back to it. It is the ultimate goal. And in the meantime, why create interference? Why fight? This fighting is now almost ingrained. You will have to go back to your childhood. You will have to regress. You will have to relive those moments when society entered and forced you to interfere. Remember one basic thing, that whenever something wrong happens on the path of life, you cannot just dissolve it by intellectual understanding. It's not so easy, because it has become your life pattern. It is in your body, in your bones. You will have to go back. All meditative techniques help you to go back. If you really want to become natural, you will have to relive the past. By and by, move backwards. Lie down in your bed in the night. Make it a 1 hour effort every day. In the beginning it will be effort, but soon effortlessness will happen. And you will enjoy. Because the more you will regress back, the more you will feel free and great. Because nature is vast. And our laws, men created, are narrow. They are like tunnels. And the more you move in them, the narrower they become. And the moment comes of cul-de-sac, where you cannot move anywhere, and the tunnel becomes your grave. That's how everyone is stuck. If you really want to unstuck, in the night, before falling into sleep, close your eyes and just go back. Try to relive the past. Move slowly. There is no hurry. You cannot do in one day. It will take almost 3 months. Move slowly. Just relive, not remember. Remembering won't help, because remembering is intellectual. You remain aloof. It won't touch you. Relive. What I mean when I say relive, just go back as if again it is happening. In the beginning it will be as if. Soon it becomes real. Because incomplete, your suppressed being is there, is struggling to become free. Just go back and you will soon reach within 3 weeks to the point where you will know, now this is the barrier. Beyond this barrier I was free, natural, and this barrier created the whole trouble. After this I have never been natural. You will find somewhere your father, your mother, your parents is standing on the barrier. That's why you have completely forgotten. If you remember, you will not be able to remember beyond age 4. Because the barrier is so big, it has completely blocked it out. Otherwise, why you can't remember beyond age 4? Why you have forgotten it so deeply? The mind was there, you enjoyed, you suffered, you passed through many experiences, Why you have forgotten them all? You have not forgotten. Because of this barrier, you have repressed it deep down into the unconscious. That's why people go on saying their childhood was very beautiful. They go on thinking that it was paradise. It was. But to you it appears because you can't remember. It is a blank. Go slowly, by and by more and more things will come up. The whole dust of the past has to be stirred up. You will perspire. You will tremble. You will be scared. Your whole mind will say, what you are doing? Come back. Go to the future. Mind always says, go to the future. Because then the past remains intact. But if you really want to become a meditator, first go to the past. If you have taken a wrong route, somewhere on some crossroads, if you have taken a wrong route, the only way is to go back to the crossroads and move again into the right path. There is no other way. Wherever you are, from there, you cannot suddenly take the right path. There is no right path. You have to go back. And when I say relive, I mean allow it to happen in the body. If you remember the first day when you touched your sixth center and your father or mother said, don't touch it, remove the hand. Their eyes, their face, everything condemned you. Just see your father standing again. The same face, the same eyes, the gesture, the condemnation, the whole thing. And not only this, feel how you felt on that day. The shrinking, the narrowing of your consciousness, the wound that they created, the condemnation. And the child is so helpless, he has to follow. Whatsoever you say, he has to follow you. Even against his nature, he has to follow you because he is so helpless, he cannot live without you. He depends on you. See the whole helplessness. Feel it in your body. You may start crying, weeping. You may start kicking. You would like to hit the father. You didn't do it. And that is the incomplete thing. And you cannot forgive your father unless you hit him again in this reliving moment. That's why no child can forgive the parents. Forgive the parents. They remain always there. Something wrong has happened with them. Go back, relive those moments, and by and by you will be able to go deeper and deeper and deeper. And then suddenly the tunnel is no more. You have passed the barriers. You are under a wide infinite sky. You are a child again. Then choose. Only then Chontazu will be understood by you. Never before. William Reck and his therapy can be helpful. You can use Wilhelm Reich beautifully on the path of Chontazu. Now, the sutra. The tower of the spirit. The spirit has an impregnable tower which no danger can disturb. As long as the tower is guarded by the invisible protector who acts unconsciously and whose actions go astray when they become deliberate, reflexive and intentional. Your spirit is protected. by nature itself. You need not be afraid about it. You need not be afraid and insecure. Your being is protected by the whole existence. The whole cosmos helps you. But the help is unconscious. It is not deliberate. You cannot manipulate it. You have to be in a let go so that the cosmic force can work through you. If you become deliberate, you become tense. If you become tense, you become narrow. If you become narrow, the infinite cannot work through you. And whenever you are afraid, you shrink. Physically, shrinking happens. Chuang Tzu says, inside you is the eternal, the immortal. No death can destroy it. There is no fear for it. You are afraid because you are not there in the tower, invisible tower of the spirit. You have moved into the laws and regulations of the society. Those laws and regulations cannot protect you. They only give you a feeling of protection, but nothing protects. They cannot make you secure. They only give you a feeling of security which is false, because death ultimately comes and shatters your all securities. You will remain trembling, fear-filled, unless you come back to the source, to the inner tower of the spirit. What is that tower? How it functions? It functions unconsciously. A child is born. How a child knows that now 9 months are over and he has to come out of the womb? How the child knows? He has no calendar, no watch, nothing of the sort. But 9 months are over and the child is ready to be born. He actually struggles to be born. That's why so much pain is felt by the mother. There is a real struggle. Conflict has started. And the mother shrinks, afraid of the pain that is going to happen to her body. So she also resists. That resistance and the child is trying to come out of the womb creates the pain. If the mother allows, if she is not resistant, there will be no pain. In primitive societies, there was never pain. More civilized a woman, the more pain she feels. Because now she lives according to laws and rules. Everything has become false and unnatural. How the child knows now the time is ripe? How a seed knows now it is time to sprout? The seed may wait for the whole year. When the right moment comes, and the seed never goes to ask to an astrologer, palmist. Simply the seed at the right moment breaks down into the earth, loses itself, drops the protection, sprouts. How the trees flower in the right season. How the stars move. Look at this cosmos, so mysterious, so complicated, so complex, but moves so easily, so simply, effortlessly. It is protected by Tao, by nature. by the spirit of nature itself. Man is foolish because he thinks he is very wise. Then the child grows. And have you ever observed? Every child is beautiful. It is very difficult to find an ugly child. Every child is beautiful, from where this grace comes. Later on, it is difficult to find one person beautiful in 100. In the beginning, all the 100 were beautiful. What happened to 99 persons? How they became ugly? Why every child is beautiful? He is beautiful because the movement, the flow is natural. Nature is beauty. Artificial, unnatural, then you become ugly. Deliberate, and ugliness enters into. A child lives unconsciously. When he feels hunger, he cries. When he feels sleepy, he sleeps. But we force rules and regulations. I have heard one small child was crying, standing outside his house. An old lady passing asked him, "What is the matter? Why are you crying? What has happened?" The child says, "My mother has lost the guidebook how to raise a child." And now she is using her own mind. Now there are guidebooks how to raise a child, how to be a mother, how to be a father. And every instruction is given. One wonders how children ever were born before when there were no guidebooks. When the law was not passed, how we managed to be born at all, to live at all. Guidebooks give particular deliberate rules that after every 3 hours the child is given to be milk, the milk is to be given. And the mother goes on looking at the watch, not at the child, and the child is crying, but the 3 hours have not passed. Now you are destroying the unconscious nature. Soon, the child will follow and he will also look at the clock. And when 3 hours are over, he will start crying. Whether he feels hungry or not, early in the morning, he has to go to the toilet. And toilet training is such a nuisance. Because how the child is supposed that if he is not feeling the movement of the bowel, he should feel. And the mother is standing there with a very condemnatory look. Do it on order. And the child is crying and weeping and he doesn't know how to satisfy this mother. And this mother is simply mad. But sooner or later the child will force. Psychologists have unearthed the fact that 50% of neurosis in humanity is because of toilet training. 50%! The child starts forcing because he has to follow and he feels guilty. If he cannot do it right in time, he feels guilty. And whenever it comes naturally, then too he feels guilty because guests were there and did it in the drawing room. How the child is to know the drawing room is not the right place? He lives unconsciously. He does not know where is the toilet and where is the drawing room, and when the guests are there and when the guests are not there, when he is allowed and when he is not allowed. He does not live according to rules. But he will follow, because he has to follow. He is so helpless, and you are so strong, you will cripple him completely. Look what happens when a child forces himself to go to the toilet. The whole body by and by becomes an artificial mechanism to be manipulated. Then nothing is natural. Then he forces somehow to satisfy the parents. When he is not feeling hungry, he starts weeping and crying. You may look, go to any house, small children sitting on tables, tears coming down their eyes and eating. They don't feel the hunger right now. And they are right. The mother is wrong. Because this is how the child will move on a wrong path. Then, when the time is, he will ask, and he is not hungry. When he is hungry, he will control. He cannot ask. He will lose contact with the nature. And to be out of contact is to be neurotic. The child is feeling alive. Active, he wants to run and dance, and the mother is forcing to go to sleep. Have you ever thought that you are asking the impossible? Can you deliberately go to sleep? Even you, even the mother can go deliberately to sleep. When there is no sleep, what you will do? The child will pretend. He will close the eyes. And he will pretend and will look when the mother has gone. You are training him for pretensions. You are making a hypocrite out of him. For absolutely useless things. Sleep cannot be forced. There is no way to do it. Otherwise, why there is so much insomnia? Why so many tranquilizers are needed? Why people go on whole night moving to this side and that and suffer? And you expect this from a child, that on order he should go to sleep. And in Brahma Muhurt, at 5 o'clock, he should get up. Then he is a good child. A goody-goody. Otherwise, he is a bad guy. All those who are natural are bad guys. And all those who are artificial are goody-goody. You have destroyed a human being again. Now, whole life this being will suffer. And he will go to this priest and that, and this swami and that, and he will seek from this master and that, and they will go on giving him things that do this and that, and nothing will be of much help, because his whole life, his style is wrong. You cannot add anything to it. This whole structure is basically wrong. The whole structure has to be dropped, and you have to start afresh. But this seems too much. You have lived 40 years, 50 years,
You have much investment in your lifestyle. And if you come to me and I say, drop it completely, that's what I mean by sannyas. It is just a decision to drop the whole lifestyle, to change so completely that the past is dropped. You are no more identified with it. And you drop all investments that were there, all profits that you were getting through them. There are profits, otherwise why you should carry such a burden? It pays. The society respects you, you are a respectable person. The society honors you because you follow the society. When I say take a jump into sannyas, I mean change the whole lifestyle. Nothing less will do. I cannot change fragments because you are such a disease that if I change one fragment, the whole disease is so big. This fragment will not be able to change the whole disease. The whole disease will change this fragment. Sooner or later, this fragment will also become part of the disease. Unless you are ready to drop totally, nothing can be done. You can meditate, you can do TM. You can close your eyes and do a mantra for 10 minutes in the morning and 10 minutes in the evening. And you can go on befooling yourself that something is going to happen. And your life is still intact. That's how Mahesh Yogi is so influential in the West. Because he never touches your life style. He never says change yourself. He says whatsoever you are okay. Just a little injection of TM and everything will be okay. It is just like a pill. Your lifestyle is not touched. Not at all. Whosoever you are, wrong or right, just eat this much more. A mantra. And do it 10 minutes in the morning and 10 in the evening and everything is okay. And doors of paradise are just open for you and waiting. And man is so foolish. Man goes on believing in such tricks. These are just tricks. They can help just like tranquilizers. They may help you to adjust to your wrong lifestyle, and that is the problem. They may help. They may give you an adjustment to your lifestyle, but your lifestyle is basically wrong. So it is better not to be adjusted to it than to be adjusted. They may give consolations, but those consolations are poisonous. Because then you will never change. You will be consoled in your lifestyle. And you will think everything is okay, I am doing TM. You will have a little better sleep, I know. Mantra can give you a better sleep. You may be less prone to diseases, that too is possible. Because you will be more adjusted to a wrong lifestyle. But this is not going to give you bliss. You may be less unhealthy, but this is not going to give you ecstasy. You may be able to prolong the suffering a little more. You will be less maladjusted, but you will never become an ecstatic being, a blissful being. You can become a blissful being only when you are ready to drop the whole lifestyle. Nothing less than sannyas can help. The spirit has an impregnable tower which no danger can disturb. As long as the tower is guarded by the invisible protector who acts unconsciously and whose actions go astray when they become deliberate, reflexive and intentional, avoid deliberateness, avoid will, avoid intentions, move like a child trusting nature. When you feel hungry, eat. When you don't feel hungry, don't eat. Nature guides you. When you feel sleepy, go to sleep. If you don't feel sleepy, there is no need. Just drop the very idea. Move unintentionally, and soon this neurotic style of life will be dropped and you will fall back to the source. That source is Tao. The unconscious and entire sincerity of Tao are disturbed by any effort at self-conscious demonstration. All such demonstrations are lies. Live, but don't make your life a demonstration. Live, but don't become a showman. Don't allow showmanship. There is no need. What others say is useless. It is irrelevant. What you are is the only relevant thing. Live according to your nature. Whatsoever others think about you is their problem. You need not worry about it. And don't make your life a showmanship. Once you start, then there is no end to it. Then you are always making yourself false. Because if people pay respect to a falsity, you will become false. If they think that this is good and respectable, you will do it. And there is no natural inclination towards it. If you want to be a painter, and this is the unconscious desire, become a painter and remain poor. Don't become a doctor and become rich. Howsoever rich you become by being a doctor, which you never wanted unconsciously, which you have done to satisfy your parents, society, family, friends, others, you may become very, very rich, but you will remain unfulfilled. And the ultimate thing is fulfillment. I have heard about one doctor. He became the greatest surgeon in his country. Then he was made the president of the National Society of Surgeons. The day he was made the president, there was a great celebration in his honor. But he was very sad. One friend asked him, "Why you are looking so sad? You must be the happiest man in the world. You have become the greatest surgeon. Nobody can compete with you now. The greatest honor that a surgeon can get is to become the president of the National Society. You have been. You have become the president. Why you are feeling so sad?" The man said, the surgeon said, "But I never wanted to become a surgeon. And I have succeeded in something which I never wanted.
And now there is no way to escape from it. Had I been a failure, there was some possibility. Now I am stuck. The man said, Don't be kidding. What are you saying? Your family is happy, your wife is happy, your children are happy, everybody is happy, and everybody has respect for you. And the man said, but I cannot respect myself. And that is the basic thing. If you cannot respect yourself, then how can you respect? If you have been deliberately going against yourself, how can you respect? You know that you have been a weakling. The surgeon said that I wanted to become a dancer. But my father, my mother won't allow. And I had to follow them. I was a weakling. And I am not happy that I have become the greatest surgeon. I am unhappy because I am the lousiest dancer in the world. I cannot dance, and that is the trouble. Fulfillment comes through nature, not through society. You carry your destiny within yourself, but that is an unconscious thing. Follow it. Nobody may be aware that you have reached, but you will be aware. Nobody may be paying respects for you. You may not get a Nobel Prize, because nobody has yet got who is fulfilled. Nobody has yet got any Nobel Prize. No Buddha, no Jesus, nobody. And not even in the future it is going to be so. Because Nobel Prize is given to someone who has followed the society so sincerely and who has achieved society's aims, not his own. Look at the Nobel Prize winners and you will not find sadder men than them. Most of them commit suicide. And this is not accidental. This is not just accidental. It has a deep meaning in it. Most of them feel unfulfilled. Prizes cannot fulfill you. Allow the unconscious nature. Don't force it consciously. The unconscious and entire sincerity of Tao are disturbed by any effort at self-conscious demonstration. All such demonstrations are lies. All your successful persons are lies. The so-called successful persons, look at them and you will find nothing but lies. Mullah Nasruddin was ill and he went to his doctor. And the doctor asked him, Nasruddin, first tell me, said the doctor, you drink any alcoholic beverages? Nasruddin said, no. And his hand was trembling. And he was even at that moment drunk. And you could smell it from his breath. And the doctor said, okay, then do you follow women, chase women? He said, no, never. And he has just come from a prostitute. You could even see the lipstick on his face. The doctor said, then, do you smoke, Nasruddin? He said, no, never. and you could see the packet of cigarette in his coat pocket, and his fingers were burnt. Then the doctor said, "Then what do you do?" Mulla Nasruddin said, "I tell lies." But this is how your all successful men are. Greater a liar, greater will be your success. To succeed in this world, you have to be a liar, perfect liar. But then you miss yourself. You succeed in this world, but you become a failure in the other. And finally the other counts. All such demonstrations are lies. When one displays himself in this ambiguous way, the world storms in and imprisons him. Once you show the inclination towards demonstration and showmanship, the world comes in and imprisons you immediately. You have become a victim. He is no longer protected by the sincerity of Tao. Each new act is a new failure. Once you become interested in what others say about you, your each new act will be a new failure. Here it may succeed, here it succeeds. But this success is absolutely useless because you are never fulfilled by it. You never flower through it. You never come to the fulfillment of your destiny. Your seed remains a seed. You may accumulate cuttings from newspapers about you, but that is not life. Those dead cuttings, certificates that you put on the wall of your sitting room, faces that you carry with yourself when you move out, smiles which are false, by and by, every new act, and deeper you go into lies. Through these lies, how do you think you can be blissful? You may attain much of the rubbish of this world, but you will lose all of the real. Says Chuang Tzu, be in Tao, authentically in it, sincere in it. There is only one sincerity needed of you, and that sincerity is towards the Tao, your inner nature, your authentic being. No other sincerity is needed. Let the whole world say that you are insincere. This is what Buddha's father said to him. Because Buddha deserted. This is what Buddha's wife said to him. Because he deserted the wife. This is what his whole kingdom said to him. Because he deserted the whole kingdom. But he was happy. He remained sincere to his Tao, to his nature. And he said otherwise was not possible. And if you suffer because of your expectations, not because of me. You are here to fulfill yourself. Others are here to fulfill themselves. If they expect something from you, it is their problem. They will suffer. But you need not become false because of that. Be sincere to your inner nature and help others also to be sincere to their inner nature. This is what I call a religious man. A religious man is one who is sincere to his inner nature and helps others to be sincere to their inner nature. You are here to fulfill your destiny, others are here to fulfill theirs. Don't expect anything from them, otherwise you will turn them into so-mans. Then you will turn them into deliberate liars. Don't expect anything from anybody, and don't fulfill others' expectations about you. This is arduous, but this is what sannyas is. This is what sannyas is all about. Don't help anybody's expectation about you. Don't give even a hint that you will fulfill. No. Whatsoever suffering you pass through, be ready to pass. But don't allow others to have expectations about you. Otherwise, the world will close you in and there will be imprisonment. Once you nod that, yes, I will do this, you are closed in. You are in the tunnel already. And now every step, every new act, and you will fall into a new misery and new unfulfillment, new lies, new failures. Drop fulfilling others' expectations. And drop asking others also to fulfill yours. Remember one thing, if you suffer because of you. If others suffer, they suffer because of them. Nobody suffers because of others. Remember that deeply. Only then you will be able really to be sincere to your inner self. And that sincerity is religiousness. Hindus have called this rit. Jesus calls this kingdom of God. Chantazu calls this Tao. Whatsoever the word used, it is to remain with one's unconscious and fellow with it. Without any conditions, unconditionally, to flow with the unconscious, wherever it leads, trust it. This is what trust is, not a belief in a God, not a belief in a hell or heaven, not a belief in concepts and theories and philosophies. Trust means trusting the nature from where you come and to which you return finally. Trusting that nature. Then you will return fulfilled. Then each moment of your life will be a new fulfillment, a deeper fulfillment. Otherwise, new act is a new failure. If his acts are done in public, in broad daylight, he will be punished by man. If they are done in private and in secret, they will be punished by spirits. Don't demonstrate yourself. If you demonstrate in public, in broad daylight, they will be punished by men. This has to be understood. First, when you become a demonstrator, a showman, when your life becomes a circus, an exhibition, people will appreciate you. Because you are falling victim to their whims, to their expectations. They will applaud you. But this is not going to be very long. Sooner or later, they will start feeling your lies. Because how long you can carry a lie? It shows. When they start feeling your lies, they will start punishing you. Look at Richard Nixon. That happens to everybody who becomes a showman. First they applaud you. Now you have become a victim. Just to get their applause more and more, you will lie more and more. You will start fulfilling their expectations. You will become unreal more and more. This is a vicious circle. And the more unreal you become, by and by, they will be able to look that you are lying. Then they will start punishing you. Whenever others appreciate you, beware. You are moving on a dangerous path. Sooner or later, they will punish you. When people talk about your success, beware. Now, failure is not very far off. When they put you on a throne, escape. Because sooner or later, they will throw you. But you are so foolish and stupid, you never see the fact that somebody else was there on the throne. They had put him. And now for you they have thrown him. And they are garlanding you and welcoming you and celebrating the thing. Sooner or later they will find another soulman. And they will throw you. This happens to everybody who lives through public opinion. Don't ask for any success in the outside world and you will not have any failure. Don't ask people to respect you, then there will be no insult. Sage Swang Chazu, be the last, so nobody can push you further back. Don't move in the queue to be the first, because then everybody will be your enemy. And sooner or later, they will punish you. Everything has its opposite with it. If they appreciate you, they will punish you. If they respect you, they will insult you. What is the mechanism of it? When somebody respects you, he feels insulted deep down. Deep down he has become inferior to you. How he can forgive you at all? He cannot forgive you. Someday, the accounts have to be put right. When he bowed down and touched your feet, that very day, a deep wound has happened within him. He is lower than you. He will have to prove that he is not. Someday he will prove that he is higher than you. Try to understand the inner mechanism. Accounts have to be settled. You cannot go on with an imbalance. Whenever you appreciate somebody, at that very moment, if you are alert, you can find inside that you would like to insult him also. Only a time gap is needed. Sooner or later, the other side will come up. A man who is really wise never asks for your appreciation. And when you come with garlands to him, he says, stop here and now, because later I will have to pay. If his acts are done in public, in broad daylight, he will be punished by men. If they are done in private and in secret, he will be punished by spirits. And it may be that you are not doing your showmanship in public, in private. People have become so false that even in their bathrooms, when they are alone, they are liars. Even there they are not real and authentic. Lies have become so ingrained, you cannot put them aside easily. They follow you. Even in your dreams, you lie. Even in your dreams, lies have become so deep rooted that even in your dreams they follow you. If you want to kill your father, even in dream, you will not kill your father, you will kill your uncle. This is how lies follow. Uncle has not done anything to you, but he is the nearest, just looks like father. And to kill father in the dream, even in the dream, it is difficult. That's why a dream becomes complex, and Freud, Jung's are needed to interpret them. Because you will bring the uncle, and Freud will read the father. Uncle is just the symbol, the nearest to father. If you do in private, then by nature itself you will be punished. But showmanship has to be punished. That's what Chuang Tzu says by spirits. By spirits he means by nature itself you will be punished. If you don't want to be punished, then don't be a showman. Remain natural, whatsoever others say. Just because they say such are such, don't change yourself. Even if they feel that you are rebellious, they feel you are a criminal, they feel you are bad and evil, let them think. Even if they put you on the cross, let them put, but you remain true to yourself. When Jesus was crucified, it was very easy to escape. Pontius Pilate was even ready to forgive him. But he had to ask for it. And he will not ask. A true, authentically true man towards his own nature. When Socrates was punished by Athens, there was a condition. They said that if you promise the court that you will not talk around the town and you will not discuss about things and philosophy, you will keep silent, then we can forgive you. Socrates laughed and he said, that is impossible, because I cannot be untrue to my nature. That's how I am. I will continue my business of talking. You can kill me, that is for you to decide. He accepted poison, but he will not accept silence. He will not accept to keep quiet. Be true to yourself and don't look what others are saying. And this is the only way to reach the divine. Because this is the only way to be natural. Let each one understand the meaning of sincerity and guard against display. He will be at peace with man and spirits and will act rightly, unseen, in his own solitude, in the tower of his spirit. He will be at peace with man and spirits. If you are not in any way interested to show yourself who you are, you will be at peace with nature, with people. Even if they kill, you will be at peace. Jesus is at peace when he is crucified. Socrates is as peaceful as ever when the poison is given to him. You will be at peace. What they do does not matter. It does not touch you. You remain aloof, detached in your tower of spirit. in your inner nature, you are protected. Nothing reaches and penetrates you. He will be at peace with man and spirits and will act rightly, unseen, in his own solitude, in his tower of spirit. And when Chantazu says he will act rightly, he does not mean right against wrong. No. He does not mean the opposite of wrong. He only means the natural. The natural is right. The easy is right. To be yourself is right. Be yourself. And that's all that you can really be. Anything else is going astray. Enough for today.